John chapter 2 and verse 1. That was a wonderful hello from the cars. John 2, 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now, one day, Jesus, in this story, and his disciples received an invitation to a wedding where his mother Mary was. On that festive day, they left for the wedding. They retreated to the family's home for a feast. They ate, relaxed, laughed, rejoiced, I'm sure, with the young couple. And then right in the middle of the feast, the wine ran out. And by the way, with all that the Bible has to say about the evils of strong drink, we can be sure that it was not an intoxicating drink, or Jesus would not have been producing it or drinking it or associated with it. One day, a drunken coal miner came to Christ, and his life changed. Praise God. One of his friends, trying to trap him, asked, do you believe that Christ turned water to wine? And the new convert said, yes, I do. In my home, he's turned the wine into furniture and decent clothing and food for my children. So he saw it from the other side. If God can do that with wine, God can change the water to wine. Mary told Jesus the predicament, and so he turned to the servants, gave them an order to fill those six water pots. How many water pots? Oh, that's right, six water pots, and to take them to the master of ceremonies. Each water pot held about 18 to 27 gallons of water. A firkin is 9 gallons, and so there are two or three firkins each. Over 120 gallon probably. And so they did it. And the ruler of the feast sipped not water, but the sweetest wine of the feast. He tasted one sip. He remarked to the bridegroom, you've certainly surprised us. Usually the best wine is served at first and the worst wine later. But you have saved the best till last. Jesus did abundantly above that which they ask or think. Ephesians 3:20, he always does. Did you realize that Moses' first miracle was turning the blood, the water to blood? A foreshadow of the curses of the law, which turns comfort into bitterness. But Jesus' first recorded miracle was turning the water to wine. A foreshadow of the blessings of the gospel. Have you ever thought about it? This is true of everything that Jesus does. He takes everything in life, the mundane, the bitter, whatever it is that we are going through, and he turns it into sweetness if we'll give it to him. He causes all things to work together for good to them that love him. This morning, I want us to imagine before us 6 water pots. That's what they had that day, 6 water pots. And see what Christ gives you if you will fill those 6 water pots. See what Christ gives you in return, and you can start pouring out of the water pots. I'm preaching on this topic, drawing from the 6 water pots. Let's pray together, and we'll get right into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your Word. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that it has application to us. I pray in Jesus' name that you will help us to see what we could fill the water pots with, that you may pour them out, and they will be a miracle of sweetness in our life. Help us right now. Somebody listening may be going through exactly one of these things in their lives, and they need to put it in the water pot and let you pour it out sweet. We pray that they will in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First, we can put our prayers in the first water pot, and He will give us answers to those prayers when it's poured out. What a blessing and a privilege it is for us to be able to take everything to Him in prayer. He invites us to do it. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And we know that He hears us. He said, so often call on me. Matthew chapter 7, if you will, in your Bibles. Christ has everything that we need, and He's ready to give it to us when we ask for it. Not ask amiss or ignore the asking, but when we ask for it. The Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 7, and it shall be, ask and it shall be given you, seek, and ye shall what? Find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Remember that it was prayer in 1620 that safely guided the Mayflower with the pilgrims across the rough ocean to the New World. It was prayer in 1623 by their testimony that saved our pilgrim fathers from starvation. It was prayer in 1777 at Valley Forge that saved the Continental Army and won the war for American independence and freedom. It was prayer at Philadelphia that saved the Constitutional Convention and gave birth to the freedoms that we have today. Prayer! Prayer! When God's people have gotten in trouble, when our countrymen have gotten in trouble in the past, they went to God in prayer, and God intervened. It was prayer in 1857 that saved America from a panic and a fear of economic destruction, and it stirred that great revival of 1857, if you read in history. It was prayer in 1918 that caused the Spanish flu to subside and ended World War I. Prayer, brethren, that'll work today. Fill the water pot with prayer. I pray for my dad. For years and years, I'd never seen him saved. I was putting the water into the water pot. You see, I was just doing what the Lord told us to do. So were others in our family praying for Dad. And Christ turned our watery prayers into a sweet new wine in his life. Amen. One day, Dad received Christ as his Savior. He was never the same after that day. He's gone before us into heaven now and is waiting for the rest of us to finish our course. But I'm so glad that I prayed. I'm glad I put the prayer in that water pot. And I'm glad that I poured, God poured out on my heart the answer to that prayer. And that's what we need. We have some things that need to be prayed about. We can pour that prayer into the water pot and see God answer our prayer. Who are you burdened for today, saint? Who are you burdened for? What heavy prayer request are you pondering in your mind? Fill the water pot full of your prayers and watch God answer them. I mean, actually, pray to God and pray through that thing to God. Our responsibility is to do what God said, and that is pray. Brethren, I wonder if you've given up on bringing that request to the Lord. Or are you still praying and trusting? Are you still putting the water in the water pots? In Acts chapter 12, Simon Peter, the chief apostle, was put in prison and was to be slain the next morning. They were going to bring him before the people. That night, a group of Christians gathered in John Mark's house and prayed for their preacher. Oh, Lord, they prayed. I can just hear them. We can't lose Peter. He's our chief apostle. He's the boldest of all. Please deliver Peter. Please bring him back to us. I don't know the exact words, and you don't either, but it was something like that. What were they doing? They were filling the water pot with prayer. In prison, there were 16 soldiers that were surrounding and guarding Peter, and he was sleeping between two of them, to whom he was chained. He was the only Christian that night that was sleeping. The others were all praying. God heard those prayers and started pouring. And he sent an angel down to that prison that night. Miracle. He woke Peter. He took off his chains. Now, chains clank. They make noise. But they never woke up the soldiers. Then Peter went straight to the house where his friends were praying. When he knocked on the door, the Christians were too busy praying to answer the knock at the gate. So they sent a little girl named Rhoda to the door. She heard Peter's voice through the gate, but was too excited to open the door. He's at the door! She ran back to tell the little group that Peter was at the door, and they said, "You're crazy." I don't know exactly what they said, but it had to be something like that. But she kept on saying, "No, I'm sure it's Peter." And they must have said something like, "Well, he's been killed already and you've seen his ghost or an angel." But Peter kept on knocking. And finally, somebody opened the door and there was Peter grinning, putting his finger up to his mouth, I'm sure, and saying, "Shh, don't make a lot of noise here." They were astonished. They were it was beyond belief. They had been praying all night, and now their prayers were answered. Christ had poured out an answer to their prayers. They filled the water pot with their prayer, and God turned it into new wine of a wonderful answer. I wonder if you've been neglecting prayer during this time. I know we're all jammed up on top of each other, but there's got to be a place in your home where you can get alone with God. Why won't you believe God's promises and just go to prayer? Just go to prayer. You have a lot of things on your mind. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I urge you to put your prayers in the first water pot and challenge you that Jesus will give you the best wine in your water pot. After that, we ought to do some more filling. And so, number two, we can fill our problems into the second water pot. And he'll start pouring out guidance to us for our problems. Have you ever noticed nothing is simple anymore? I mean, we have more machines and computers and smartphones and gadgets to make our life easier and allow us to have more, to be more productive. But we only get farther and farther behind. It's amazing. There's always something new to learn. A new course to study. I'm taking a video course right now just to keep up. The pressures and problems that we have to endure seem to be worse than ever, and that was before the pestilence hit. We have many problems. Car problems, appliance breakdowns, school bills to pay, IRS burdens, health problems, fears, family problems to deal with, depression, disappointment, hurts, job problems, and on it goes. I hear so many Christians say, "Preacher, did I do something wrong to deserve all of this? Is God punishing me?" There are times when we have disobeyed God, violated his principles, and he brings chastening to us. That's true. However, some problems occur in the natural course of living. God uses them to increase our faith and our dependence on Him. Either way, we must look to Him and give Him our problems. Put it in the water pot. We need to pour them out to God. Psalm 62 and verse 8, go there. I'll lubricate my voice a little bit. In Psalm 62 and verse 8, trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. Let's fill that water pot. That's what it says in the Greek and the Hebrew. I'm just teasing. God is the refuge for us. Selah, think about it. Lamentations 2:19. Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. I like that. Pour it out like water. Lift up thy hands toward Him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street. Do you remember what Hezekiah did when Sennacherib sent the threatening letter to King Hezekiah? Did he formulate a battle strategy right away? Did he call for the generals to have a strategy meeting? No. Did he call for a compromise and send them foreign aid as a kind of a ransom? No, he didn't do that. He did a very simple thing. He went to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And God gave him counsel of what to do and what not to do. And he was just pouring it in the water pot. His trouble. His problem. By the way, it worked. 185,000 Assyrians were miraculously slain and Jerusalem was spared. Christian friend, put the water of your problem in that second water pot. Fill it up. The Bible says in John 2, Jesus said, fill it to the brim. Fill it up with your problems. And watch the Lord turn it into a sweetness, a wise counsel of what you should do. Number 3, another water pot. We can put our sorrows in that third water pot. And He'll pour out comfort on us. Comfort. Job chapter 5 and verse 7. If you've dodged the knock of sorrow on your door, you won't do that for very long because sorrow comes to everybody. Job 5:7 says, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. The Bible never says ashes to ashes. That was a singing group, the Fifth Dimension, that said that. But it does say in the Bible that we were made of dust, and to dust we will return in Genesis 3:19. Life is filled with sorrow and trouble. But the Bible instructs us to fill the water pot, so to speak. It says in Psalm 55:22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. There's the answer. Bring Him your sorrows, and you will find a sweet comfort from Him. He'll pour out the comfort. In fact, Christ called the Holy Spirit who lives in you the Comforter. He is the Comforter. When you lose a loved one, where can you find comfort? Is it in the things that you possess? No. In your hobby, in your sports, would it be in the words of a friend, in a bottle, in some medicine? No, those things can distract and occupy your time, but none of those things will comfort you when you lose someone that's dear to you. All you can do in that day is turn it to the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians 1 says. And He can give you the peace that passeth all understanding. You must fill that third water pot, however, with your sorrow. Give it to Him at His command, and let him make a sweetness of his comfort out of it, even the best that you've ever tasted. That is, Christ becomes more precious to us than ever when we realize that he wants to comfort us. Let him amaze you with his comfort. But we're not done yet. There's six water pots. We're done with three. Number four, we can put our needs, what we need, in that fourth water pot, and he will pour out a supply of what we need. Oh, we have many needs. We need love. We need understanding, shelter. We need jobs, guidance, finance. We need security and respect. We need to be needed. We need food. We need companionship and rest and healing, and on it goes. And Paul addressed all of these needs and more when he wrote, "But my God shall supply how many of your needs? All your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." God stands ready to pour out the sweetness of a wine of supply if you will fill the water pot with your need to him. Psalm 84 and verse 11. "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Notice the condition of this promise. We must walk uprightly. If you have a need that remains unmet, examine your walk. Ask him to reveal anything in your personal life where you're not walking uprightly. Remember Christ's teaching in Matthew 6 and verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and how many things will be added unto you?" All these things. Again, notice that your needs, and that section of scripture is all about our needs. And all your needs are added when you seek him first. His promises come with conditions. Our responsibility is to put our need in the water pot and trust him with it and watch him convert it into a bountiful supply. Amen. You have some need this morning. God could supply it if only you would fill the water pot before him with it. Do it today. There's still more sweetness that Christ wants to give us, and he wants to keep pouring. Number five, we can put our fear of the future in the fifth water pot. Fill it up with the fear of the future, and he'll give us heaven. He'll give us heaven. Hey, that's the final sweet wine of what he offers to us. Wouldn't it be depressing and futile if all you had to look forward to was a cold grave at the end of this life? Maybe the fires of hell? Actually, that's all the unsaved man does have to look forward to. Here we have hunger and thirst and pain in this life. There'll be none of that in heaven. No, 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 no. Here we face death and sorrow, but in heaven there'll be no emergency room, no doctor consultation, no graveside services, no MRIs, no reports coming back. There'll be no place for sad goodbyes in heaven. There'll be no undertakers and burials or viruses in heaven. God has a wonderful place awaiting for those who know him. Should we then have the fear of death? Good night. A fear of the future? No. No, 1,000 times no. We just have to put that fear in the water pot. Put it in his hand. Let him do something about it. And he'll pour out for us the confidence that one day heaven is ahead for us. Glory be to God. Sweetness of the wine of heaven. He'll say, "Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord," one day. Don't fear the future. Finally, this morning, we can put our sins in that sixth water pot, our sins, and he'll give us salvation in return. When he said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again," Jesus was simply saying, put all of your sins on me and I'll save you. Pour all of your sins in the water pot, and when you taste what's inside, it will be a salvation to your taste. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You bring your labor and your heavy load of sin, and he pours out rest for your souls. He was saying, I'll deliver you from your load of sin. John chapter 3 and verse 18. Pour your sins on Jesus today if you're listening and you're lost, and he'll replace them. He wants to save you. Let him do it. He came to save you. In John 3, 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. He was saying, put your sin on me, and there will be no condemnation for you. I will save you and save you eternally. I'll wash the slate clean of all of your sins. Oh, preacher, how inclusive is this promise? The promise includes everyone alive, rich or poor, male or female, affluent or not, married or single, red, white, black, yellow or whatever, educated or uneducated. Jesus is an equal opportunity Savior. As long as you come confessing your sin and believing in him alone to save you, stop and fill that sixth water pot today if you're listening and you're not saved. In one of our national elections, some men wore a button that said, I'm in the book. They meant that they had been registered to vote. And that was the voting mantra in that day. But there's a much more important book than the voter registration book. It's the Lamb's Book of Life. When we come to Jesus, our names are written or not allowed to be erased in that book. He takes our sins and gives us salvation. That's why we sing that blessed hymn. That's the foundation for this hymn. Is your name written there on the page bright and fair? In the book of God's kingdom, is your name written there? No matter how bad your life of sin, he will save you. I close with this illustration. Richard DeHaan of Discovery told the story of a man named Mr. Klein. Maybe you've heard the story. He was so discouraged and defeated and convinced that life just wasn't worth the living because nobody cared for him. Well, one Sunday night, he walked past a church while the congregation was singing, Saved by Grace Alone, they were singing, This is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind, and Jesus died for me. Well, hearing this, however, his hearing was not very good. So when the congregation came to the words, Jesus died for all mankind, he thought they said, Jesus died for old man Klein. He thought, what? Well, that's me. They're singing about me. Stopping in his tracks, he turned, entered into that small auditorium, heard a gospel message, and received Jesus Christ as his Savior that night. Glory to God. I'd like to have been there to see that, wouldn't you? And Christ is just as willing to save you today. How fortunate you are if Christ can turn your water to wine. Salvation really does happen. He can change your sin into a wonderful eternal life and salvation. In 8 meetings this year, we've seen 6 young folks receive Christ as Savior. It's still happening. We just heard from one of the preachers this week, and he said, I just wanted you to know that young man is still going on for the Lord, and he's growing in his faith, wants to be baptized. And if you don't know him today, he wants to save you today. pour out your sin in that water pot, and you too will be amazed at what he'll do with it. He'll convert it all over into the new wine of salvation. Your head's bowed and eyes closed now, wherever you are, sitting in your living room, sitting in your car. Some Christians have the waters of sin they need to pour into his water pot. Others have the waters of prayer and problems and sorrows and needs, fear of the future. Jesus has given the command to fill the water pots with your water, whatever it is, because he wants to do the supernatural in your life just as he did then. The sad story is that so many will not obey his command to fill the water pots. My friend, don't miss the sweetness of what he can do if only we'll obey. Today is a day to pour it out to the Lord. Fill your water pot. Maybe there's a situation in your life that you need the Lord to transform supernaturally, and you need to turn it over to him today. Maybe turn it over again to him. Maybe you've done that in the past. Take time right now in prayer to start pouring it out into the water pot while the Holy Spirit prompts you. Don't wait to do it. Do it right now. Maybe you have all sorts of fears, and you try not to fear, but you find yourself resorting to those fears. You desperately need to put it in the water pot. Fill the water pot before the Lord today. Let him know about it. Let him replace it with his sweet wine.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to him and respond to him about what he has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.